that a Shudra who was dressed as a king was mercilessly beating a cow and a bull. Next. Next. So upon questioning, he came to know that this cow was none other than Mother Earth and the bull represents Dharma. So the four legs of the bull represent the four pillars of Dharma: austerity, mercy, cleanliness and honesty. And he saw that the bull was standing on only one leg and it was trembling in fear, because with the onset of Kali, the three legs of Dharma had already been cut off. That is, austerity, mercy and cleanliness had dwindled, practically disappeared. And now Dharma in Kali Yuga is standing on only one leg, that is honesty or truthfulness. So Parikshit Maharaj, being a proper Kshatriya, he immediately drew out his sword and he wanted to kill Kali. But Kali offered obeisances to Parikshit and said, "O king, I am also your subject. I want shelter. Please give me a place to stay in your kingdom." So Parikshit Maharaj said, there's Hindi translation at the back if anybody wants. So Parikshit Maharaj said, "You can stay, O Kali, in the place where there is meat eating, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex." So Kali, he thought for a moment and he said, "But O king, you are such a good ruler, in your kingdom there won't be such a place. Then where do I go?" So then Parikshit said, "Okay, you can stay in the place where there is hoarding of gold." Because he knew that wherever there is hoarding of gold, falsity, intoxication, envy and lust automatically follow. So thus Kali entered. Next. So we heard just now that now in Kali Yuga, the Dharma, the bull of Dharma is standing on only one leg, that is honesty. But where is the honesty? Do we find honesty in Kali Yuga? No. All we see is rampant corruption. Everywhere there is corruption and falsehood. There is no honesty left. Why is this? What are the causes? So let us see what are the causes of dishonesty. Next. So the causes of dishonesty are: 1. Unlimited desires and greed. 2. Cheating propensity. 3. Lack of good leadership. 4. We think no one is watching. So let us take the first one: unlimited desires and greed. Srila Prabhupada used to always say that in this world there is enough for everyone's need, but there isn't enough for one man's greed. If a person is greedy, no amount of wealth can satisfy him. There is a story about this monkey. He saw a jar of sweets and he wanted to take some sweets. So he put his hand into the jar like this and he took so many sweets. Now the mouth of the jar was narrow. So when he took, his fist became like this. So his hand couldn't come out. If he would have taken one sweet, he could have easily pulled out his hand. But because he wanted more, because of his greed, his hand got stuck. So because of greed, we get more and more entangled. There is no end to our needs. There is a saying that one who spends less is rich, not one who has more money. That means one who has less needs is actually rich. Because otherwise there is no end to our needs. Whatever we get, we will not be satisfied. One devotee was telling us that they did a survey in the USA asking people, what is the amount you need to make you happy? So they asked someone who's earning 10,000 rupees. He said, "If I got 20, I would be happy." Then they asked someone who was earning $30,000. He said, "If I would get 50, I would be happy." They asked someone who's earning 50. He said, "If I got 1 lakh, I would be happy." But when they asked person who's earning 1 lakh, what did he say? "If I got 2, I would be happy." So there is no end to the need. And because of this greed, there is dishonesty. To get this money, people resort to unfair means. They are willing to go to any extent to get this money. So the root cause of dishonesty is greed. And because of greed, we see vices like gambling and speculation. What is gambling? Gambling totally destroys the quality of honesty in a person. The person loses all his intelligence. We have seen so many families, well-to-do families, where people are really prosperous. And just because one member in the family, he gets into the habit of gambling, he totally destroys the entire family. He sells off everything just to gamble. So gambling destroys our intelligence. So one example of this, one glaring example of this is that in Las Vegas, which is famous for its casinos, people are gambling. Everybody loves to gamble. People go there to gamble actually. So there was a hospital over there, and the nurses over there actually started gambling on people's lives. That this man will die today. No, he will live for 1 week. No, he will die in 15 days. So like this, they were gambling, betting on people's lives, putting stakes. And one nurse, she went to such an extent that just to win the bet, just to win, she cut off one person's ventilator, the life supply, just to win. So this is the extent to which people can go just to get money. Next. Cheating propensity. All of us have a cheating propensity within us. The desire to cheat. Beg, borrow, steal, live life king size, die ant size and get a body dog size or cat size. So we have a propensity to cheat. Do anything. Beg, borrow, steal, but get money so that we can live comfortably. That is today's mood. Kuch bhi karo, but live comfortably. Aisho aram chahiye. But that's not what we are intended to do. But that's the way it is, unfortunately. Another aspect of this is that people don't present things as they are. That is also cheating. What is today's advertising industry? There is no substance in the product. But just by advertising, just by creating a very fancy external appearance, we sell off the product. That is advertising. Even if somebody doesn't need it, they'll buy it. Just because of the way it looks. So there is one very funny anecdote that there was once a marketing executive, a sales executive, and he wanted to buy a donkey for whatever purpose. We don't know that. So he went to a farmer. You can come in front if there is less space behind. You can keep this chair on the side. So he decided to buy a donkey. So he purchased the donkey from a farmer at $100. The farmer told him, I will deliver the donkey to you tomorrow. Now unfortunately at night the donkey died. So next day when the sales executive came, he said, where's my donkey? So the farmer said, he died. He said, then give me back my money. He said, I spent it. He said, then give me the donkey. He said, but what will you do with a dead donkey? Anyway, you give me the donkey. I have paid for it, you give it to me. So he gave him the dead donkey. Next day, the farmer met this man again and he said, what did you do? He said, I made a profit. How did you do that? He said, I sold tickets, 500 tickets. Like, you know, housey, raffle tickets I sold. Whoever gets the lucky number, whoever wins the lucky draw will win the donkey. So 500 people purchased the tickets at $2 a piece. So I got $1,000. But didn't anyone complain? The farmer asked. He said, yes, the guy who won it complained, so I gave him his $2 back. But still I made a profit of 898. I bought it for 100, I got 1,000 and I gave $2. So I still made a profit of $898. So this is the cheating that is going on. You make money on even a dead donkey. Next. Lack of good leadership. Unless there is a good leader, there is no chance of society being virtuous. If the leader is a person of honesty and integrity, naturally he will inspire his citizens to be the same. Lord Ram is an ideal example of this. We all hear of Ram Raj. When Lord Ram was the king, or when Lord Krishna was present on earth, the earth provided in abundance. There was never any scarcity. She was so happy to give. There must be plenty of jewels, plenty of food. Everything was available in abundance. So there was no question of scarcity. There was no question of exploitation or dishonesty. But nowadays, where are such good leaders to be found? If the leaders themselves are dishonest, how can we expect the common man to be honest? Yad yad acharati shrestha satta deve tarojana. We just saw that verse. That whatever the leaders do, whatever the great people do, the common men will follow. Because they will follow the example of the leaders. Next. Not only were the kings honest, they were Rajarishis. They were virtuous. They followed Dharma. But also their advisors were honest. They had as advisors perfect Brahmanas of great integrity and high character who did not even take a salary from the king. And because they did not take salary from the king, they were never scared to speak the truth. They never feared losing their position or money. They could fearlessly give the right advice to the king. And one such person was Chanakya Pandit. Chanakya Niti is very, very famous. He was a man of great integrity. Once a Chinese traveler came to the hut of Chanakya Pandit because he had heard so much about him. He wanted to meet him. And when he came to his hut, he saw that Chanakya Pandit, he had lit a lamp and he was doing some work. He was writing something. And after some time, he switched off that lamp and he lit a diya, a small diya. And it was very dim light actually. So he asked him that, why did you put on this small diya? That lamp was better. It was giving much more light. So Chanakya Pandit said, that lamp was given to me by the king. So I use it only for official work. Now when I am doing my personal work, I am using only as much ghee as I can afford. So that was the character and integrity of the advisors and the leaders in those days. So if the leaders are like this, then naturally the praja will be like this. The subjects will be like this. If the leaders are dishonest, today we read in newspapers, everywhere, scams, leaders embezzling funds, fraud. How can the common man be honest? Next. So you may say, Lord Ram, Chanakya Pandit, these were all leaders of a bygone era. This is not worth discussing now. But even in today's day and age, recently we had such a great leader. And that was Srila Prabhupada. Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he was truly a wonderful leader. And why? Because he was fearless. His name was Abhay Charan. Abhay Charan means one who is fearless, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Hari Bol. So Srila Prabhupada, he was Abhay Charan. He was fearless. He never compromised on the truth. Once some great band of musicians came to meet Prabhupada. Who was that? The famous... Not Beatles. Beatles, they already became devotees at that time. But there was another band of musicians who came to meet Prabhupada. And the devotees were... Actually, they crossed their fingers. They were hoping that Prabhupada would not talk to them about the four regulative principles. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Because in the Western society, they thrive on these things. So they were hoping Prabhupada would not speak, but he did. Because he had no intention of getting a large following. He was not interested in that. What he was interested in was to present the Bhagavad Gita as it is. To give the message of the Bhagavad Gita in its original pure form. That's why he was fearless. He never compromised. He only spoke the absolute truth. Next. Another reason why people are dishonest is because they think nobody is watching. Nobody is seeing me. Here we have a picture of an ostrich. An ostrich, when it's running away from a hunter, it puts its head into the sand. If I can't see, that means nobody can see me. But that's not the case. At any given time, we don't realize, but somebody is looking at us. Next. There was one small anecdote that in a hostel cafeteria, the children were lined up in a line and there was a plate of cherries kept. They were with all their plates to serve themselves. And there was a plate of cherries kept, and it was written over there, God, take only one, God is watching the cherries. So the children, they would come there and take one cherry and go ahead. And ahead there was a plate of chocolates. So one child said to another that here you can take as many as you want, because God is watching only the cherries. But it's not that God is watching only the cherries, He is watching everything. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says, the sun, the fire, the sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the super soul himself, all witness the activities of the living entity. So even though we may think that nobody is watching us, but there are so many witnesses. There is that story of the guru who gave his disciple, he gave his disciples a banana each and told them that go and hide somewhere where nobody is watching you and eat the banana. So everybody went and hid. Somebody hid in a closet, somebody hid behind the bush, somebody hid behind a tree, and they all ate the fruit and came back, except for one disciple. And he came back and he said, Gurudev, I could not eat it. He said, why? He said, because there was no place where God was not watching and I was not watching. So who's the I? It's the conscience. Even though we may hide from others, but we can't hide from ourselves. And we can't hide from the super soul, Krishna, who is seated in our heart. So, one of our devotees, he gives a very nice example. He says that a black ant, how big is an ant? Just so much. A black ant on a black rock, on a black night, nobody sees, but God sees. So there are things which nobody can see, but Krishna can see everything. So today, our seminar is on honesty is the best policy. So why should we be honest? Rather, let us discuss first why we should not be dishonest. What are the effects of dishonesty? What happens when we are dishonest? First point is, nobody will trust you if you are dishonest. Second is, it's a waste of energy. Third, it becomes a habit. And fourth, there will be a strong reaction. So let us take the first one. Nobody will trust you. Look at this picture. It's a blank, white blank page with a black spot on it. So when this picture flashed, what did you see first? Everybody saw the black spot. Nobody even paid any attention to the blank slide. That's what dishonesty does to you. It tarnishes your reputation. If you are dishonest, once your reputation is spoiled, nobody will ever trust you again. We have the classic story of the boy who cried wolf. All of us have heard that story at some time or the other. Right? He cried wolf and the villagers came to save his sheep. And he said, oh, I fooled you, tinga, tinga. Huh? And then, again he did the same thing. He said, wolf, wolf! And all the villagers came. And again he said, hey, I fooled you. And the third time, the wolf really came. And he said, wolf, wolf! But this time, nobody came. Because now nobody trusted him. So if we are dishonest, if we are untruthful, people lose faith in us. Even though we may be very efficient, we may be having great abilities, we may be having so many talents, but that one blemish on our reputation cannot be wiped off easily. It will take a lot of time to re-establish that faith. Next. Next is waste of energy. It is said that it is easier to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing and justify it. That means if you do something right, it's easy. But you do it wrong and then you try to justify it and rectify it and try to prove why you did it. That consumes more energy. Think about it. How much energy it takes to tell a lie and to cover the lie. I don't know how many of you have seen this, but when I was a young girl, I saw a movie called Golmaal. Huh? So this man, he's working in an office, he bunks office and he goes for a football match. And unfortunately for him, his boss is sitting next to him in the stands. And next day when he goes to office, his boss asks him, "Toh, match kaise raha?" says, "Kaun sa match, sir?" Said, "Don't bano mat, you know, don't try to fool me. I saw you in the stands." Said, "Which stands?" So he asked him, "You didn't see Pele?" He says, "I've heard of glass and cutlery. What is Pele?" Pele is a football player, obviously, at that time. So he just denies that I have seen. So then the boss asks him, "But I saw you." So then he says, "Wo to mera judwa bhai tha. He was my twin brother." So he says, "I want to meet your twin brother." Now where will he produce a twin brother? He didn't have a twin brother. So he says, "My twin brother has gone to the village because my father died." He has to tell one lie, he has to tell another lie. To cover that, he has to tell one more lie. Then he has to do so much nonsense to actually prove himself. When he gets into a mess, it's like this spider's web. When a fly gets stuck in the spider's web and he tries to free himself, he gets more and more and more entangled. So when we tell a lie and we try to get out of that lie, telling another lie, then another lie, we get so much entangled that we cannot free ourselves. So it is better to tell the truth. Even for students who copy in their exams, they don't put in efforts to study, and then they put in more effort than that to plan out how they are going to copy. So much planning goes into that. And then so much anxiety is there, right? So much anxiety is there throughout. So that much energy, if you just put into studying, you will get what you deserve. You may not get very good marks, but you will get what you deserve. So it is easier to study than to copy, actually. Isn't it less anxiety to study than to copy? Because you have so much anxiety, fear of being caught, and it's the wrong thing to do. You are going to get a reaction. The next point is, it becomes a habit. Sita. It becomes a habit. That is what is called as compulsive liar. When we tell lies, we get into the habit of telling lies. At first, it's just a small, simple lie. But then, what happens? First, we make the habits, and then the habits make us. We get into the habit of telling lies. What are you doing here? Our Chetna lecture is going on, bhaiya.
Arey, aapka lecture baad mein karo. Aap ye de do humko. Hamara naam Ganguram. Ting tong.
Ganguram. Aao aao. Ek liter doodh chahiye aaj mujhe.
Pura ek liter hai, behan ji. Zara dekh lo.
Dekh to lu pehle. Ye kya hai, Ganguram? Ye doodh to kitna patla hai.
Kaisan baat kare to, behan ji? इस मोहल्ले में दूध बेचते हमको जमाना हुई गवा, आज तक किसी ने शिकायत नहीं की।
अरे लेकिन गंगूराम देखो तो सही, इसमें दूध कम और पानी ज्यादा नजर आ रहा है।
राम राम, हम और दूध में पानी, कैसन बात करो तो बहन जी। अरे जरा सोचो, आजकल पानी दूध से भी महंगा हुई गवा है, फिर हम पानी क्यों मिलाएंगे दूध में?
इसका मतलब ये तो नहीं ना कि मैं मेरे बच्चों को ये पानी वाला दूध पिलाऊं।
अरे अरे बहन जी जरा रुको, मुझे समझा क्या हुआ है। अरे आजकल गर्मी कितनी है, इस कारण हमार भैंस थोड़ा ज्यादा ही पानी पीते है, तो इसका असर दूध पे पड़ेगा कि नहीं जरा आप ही बताइए। चिंता मत करो बहन जी, हम ध्यान रखेंगे कि हमार भैंस आगे से ज्यादा पानी ना पिए।
गंगूराम मैं तुमसे अब क्या कहूँ, कुछ कहना ही बेकार है।
धीरज रखो बहन जी, चिंता मत करो, हम ध्यान रखेंगे, हम चलत है जय राम जी की। हमारा नाम गंगूराम।
और इस तरह कई बरसों बीत गए, गंगूराम दूध में पानी मिलाता रहा। कुछ साल पश्चात उसने अपनी बेटी का विवाह करने का सोचा। इसी कारणवश वह अपनी सारी पूंजी डालकर बेटी के लिए गहने बनवाता है, और गहने लेकर वो जब नर्मदा नदी पार कर वापस आ रहा था तो उसकी नाव पानी में डूब जाती है। वो तो बच जाता है, परंतु सभी गहने पानी में बह जाते हैं।
हे भगवान, अब मैं क्या करूं भगवान, मेरा सारा धन पानी में बह गया, अब मैं क्या करूं? बूंद बूंद जोड़कर कमाई सारी संपत्ति ऐसे पानी में बह गई, अब मैं क्या करूं? हे भगवान, ऐसा निष्ठुर ना बन, मैं क्या करूं भगवान, मैं क्या करूं, मैं क्या करूं, मैं क्या करूं भगवान।
क्यों इतना विलाप कर रहे हो? मत रो इतना, धीरज रखो, धीरज रखो बेटा।
कैसे धीरज रखूं, कैसे धीरज रखूं, मेरी सारी संपत्ति तो पानी में बह गई। अरे पर आप है कौन?
मैं ये नदी नर्मदा।
अरे देवी माँ कंडवर, क्षमा करो देवी माँ, मैंने आपको पहचाना नहीं। पर देवी माँ आप एक बात बतलाइए, आपने मेरी गूंज गूंज जमाई संपत्ति को ऐसे क्यों हड़प लिया? मेरी सारी संपत्ति मैंने अपनी बेटी के दहेज के लिए जमा की थी, आपने ऐसा कौन सा बैर निकाला मेरे साथ कि सारी संपत्ति यूं ले ली?
गंगूराम तुम दूध बेचते हो और उसमें जल मिलाते हो, वो जल मेरा था। तुम आधा दूध बेचते हो और आधा मेरा जल, इस तरह मैं तुम्हारी संपत्ति में 50% की पार्टनर हुई। तो इसलिए आज मैंने वो तुमसे मेरा हिस्सा आज ले लिया।
सो वी सॉ दैट द मिल्कमैन गॉट अ रिएक्शन टू हिज एक्टिविटीज। सो वन द फोर्थ रीजन व्हाई वी कमिट डिसऑनेस्ट एक्ट्स इज दैट वी थिंक दैट नथिंग विल हैपन टू अस। वी डोंट थिंक दैट वी विल गेट अ रिएक्शन, बट वी विल। द लॉज ऑफ कर्म आर वेरी स्ट्रिंजेंट। द मिल्स ऑफ गॉड ग्राइंड स्लोली, बट दे ग्राइंड एक्सीडिंगली फाइन। As you sow, so shall you reap. For every action there will be equal and opposite reaction. Don't think that you can get away with things. Even though you might be excused in the court of law, you might bribe the court judge, you might bribe the lawyer, you might bribe the witnesses. But you can't bribe the witnesses of the Lord, as we discussed earlier. The sun, the moon, the land, the directions. Whom are you going to bribe? You can't. Forget it. It's better to be honest. So when we act dishonestly, we are going to get a very, very severe reaction. So it is better to be honest. Otherwise, what will happen? What is poison? What is nectar in the beginning will be poison at the end. Initially, we may think we are enjoying, we are earning money through unfair means. But what happens? We lose everything, like the milkman. He was very happy in the beginning. But what happened? He lost everything. He was saying, मेरे साथ ये क्यों हुआ? मैंने किसी का बुरा नहीं किया. I have not hurt anyone. So many times we hear this, na? Why did this happen to me, oh God? We blame God. But the laws of karma are perfect. There is no mistake ever made in that. We get what we deserve. We can't escape. There is one anecdote, one story which I heard. That once there was a prisoner in a jail and he had committed many crimes. Very sinful man. And he wanted to escape from the jail. But the tight security was there in the jail. So he made a plan. In that jail, whenever somebody would die, they would ring a bell. So he made a plan with the jail warden. He said that next time someone dies, I will go and hide in the coffin with that dead person. And then the coffin will be buried in the grave. After some time you come and take me out of the grave and I will escape and I will reward you handsomely. So the jail warden said okay, because he was also a dishonest man. He also wanted money. So for some time, for many months, no bell rang. Nobody died. And after a long wait, one fine day the bell rang and this fellow was so happy, so excited to make his escape. And he just went, he ran into the morgue and it was dark. He opened the door of the coffin and he slid inside quickly before anybody comes and it shut. And soon people came, lifted up the coffin and they went and buried him in the grave. And he didn't move. He didn't make any sound because he didn't want to be detected. And then after it was buried, he lit a matchstick just out of curiosity. Who is my fellow prisoner who died? And who was it? Can anyone guess? It was the jail warden. So poor fellow, he thought he'd escape from the jail, but he got into a worse fix. So when we try to escape from the laws of karma, we make our situation much worse. People who try to commit suicide, what do? Because of their karma, they are suffering. And to escape from the suffering, they commit suicide. And then what happens? They get a ghostly body and they suffer much more. So we can't escape our karma. The laws of karma are very, very पावरफुल, इट्स अ टॉपिक बाय इटसेल्फ, मे बी वन डे विल हैव अ लेक्चर ऑन दैट, द लॉज ऑफ कर्मा. सो इवन द कौरवास, दे ट्राई टू चीट द पांडवास इन सो मेनी वेज, बट अल्टीमेटली दे वर डिस्ट्रॉयड, ऑल ऑफ देम वर किल्ड, एंड हूएवर वॉज ऑन देयर साइड, एवरीबडी वॉज किल्ड. सो देर इज अ स्टोरी ऑफ दिस कार्पेंटर हु डिसाइडेड टू रिटायर, एंड ही वेंट टू हिज बॉस, एंड द बॉस टोल्ड हिम, यू बिल्ड दिस वन लास्ट हाउस एंड देन यू कैन रिटायर. सो दिस फेलो वॉज नॉट इंटरेस्टेड, ही यूज इन्फीरियर मटीरियल्स एंड शॉडी वर्क्समैनशिप, समहाउ जस्ट बोलते ना जस्ट फिनिश इट फॉर द हेक ऑफ डूइंग इट. एंड देन व्हेन ही वेंट टू गिव द की टू द बॉस गेव हिम द की एंड सेड, दिस इज माई पार्टिंग गिफ्ट टू यू. सो देन द कार्पेंटर ही सेड लाइक दिस, ही सेड आई विश आई हैड नोन दैट ही इज गोइंग टू गिव मी दिस हाउस, आई वुड हैव डन मच बेटर वर्क, आई वुड हैव यूज्ड बेटर इन्फीरियर बेटर मटीरियल्स. द सेम थिंग इज विद अस, विद एवरी एक्शन दैट वी आर डूइंग, वी आर एक्चुअली शेपिंग आवर ओन डेस्टिनी. वी डोंट रियलाइज बट वी आर बिल्डिंग आवर ओन हाउस. So how can we blame God? Now you have built your own house, now you have to live in it. So some of us may say that all these things don't apply to us. We are honest people. We don't tell lies. We don't commit sinful activities. We don't steal from anybody. We are very honest. So before we decide that we are honest, let us evaluate ourselves. Let us see what is the definition of honesty. So the dictionary definition of honesty says that honesty means to think good, to say what you think, that is to speak the truth, and to do what you say. To say what you think. Many of us, I don't say many of us, but most probably, people might be having the intention to do something wrong, but because of a lack of opportunity or fear of being caught, we don't do it. So that is not honesty. Because if there is some bad thought in the mind, the moment an opportunity presents itself, you will give in. You will do it. So honesty begins from the mind, from the way you think. Next, to say what you think and to speak the truth. So when we say what we think, that means we are being honest. If we think one thing and we say something else, what does it make us? A hypocrite. It means we are duplicitous. So we have to say what we think, then we are honest. But wait. Just speaking what we think doesn't make us honest. Sometimes we may speak what we think, but we may hurt people. So along with honesty, there has to be another very, very important quality, and that is sensitivity. If we are not sensitive when we speak, we may hurt people, we may disturb people, and we will get the karmic reaction to that. So we may pride ourselves on being brutally frank, but by being frank, what are we doing to the people around us? We go to someone's house, they offer us something and we say, "Mujhe ye nahi achha lagta." We can say, "Mera pet bhar gaya hai," ya "Mujhe thoda de do." But we are frank and we hurt the person. So that is not what is considered as honesty. That is not sensitivity. We have to be honest, but at the same time we have to be sensitive. So that is a very, very important fact. There was once a sage called Kaushik. He was the son of the great sage Satyakam. But this Satyakam was renowned for his honesty. Satyakam, as a young boy, once went to Gautam Rishi and said, "I want to become your disciple." So Gautam Rishi said, "I only accept Brahmanas. What caste are you? Go and ask your mother." His mother was a prostitute. She said, "My dear child, I don't know who your father is. How can I tell you the caste?" So he went back and told Gautam Rishi this. So Gautam Rishi embraced him and told him, "I'm sure you are a Brahmana because you speak the truth." And then he named him Satyakam. So the same Satyakam Rishi's son was Kaushik. Once when he was sitting in his ashram, a man rushed into his ashram and said, "A gang of dacoits are after me. Please don't tell them I'm hiding here." And then soon the dacoits came. And the dacoits asked him, "Have you seen this man?" Now Kaushik, he had taken a vow to speak the truth. So he said, "Yes, he's here, he's hiding here." And in front of Kaushik, this man was killed. And for speaking this truth, Kaushik had to go to hell. That means it's not just speaking the truth. We have to use our discrimination. We have to use our intelligence. Otherwise, we will be entangled. Another aspect of honesty is हाउ ऑनेस्ट आर यू अबाउट योर सेल्फ? वी मे बी वेरी ऑनेस्ट अबाउट अदर्स इन एक्सप्रेसिंग आवर ओपिनियंस अबाउट अदर्स, बट हाउ ऑनेस्ट आर वी वेन वी कम टू वेन इट कम्स टू आवर सेल्फ? कैन वी एक्सेप्ट आवर ओन वीकनेसेस? कैन वी एडमिट आवर ओन वीकनेसेस? देन वी आर ट्रूली ऑनेस्ट. If somebody points out to you that you are making this mistake, you are wrong, are you able to accept it? Then you are really honest. Then you are really glorious. There was a violin player who gave a concert for the first time and everybody appreciated him. But there was this one critic who heavily criticized him. So this violin player, he called this critic and he asked him, please tell me where I went wrong. And then for 1 year, he didn't give a concert and corrected all those mistakes. He practiced for 1 year. And after a year, he again performed and then the same critic gave him a wonderful review. So we should be like this violin player. We should be honest about ourselves. If we admit our mistakes and our weaknesses, only then we can improve. If we don't know we have a weakness, how can we improve? So this is a very, very important aspect of honesty. Next. Third one is to do what we say. Do we actually do what we say? Actions speak louder than words. There's a saying that your actions speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. Practice what you preach. Here we see a picture of a government vehicle which says pollution control, which is propagating pollution control. But what do you see coming out of the car? Smoke. It says pollution control, but actually the own government's own vehicle is giving out smoke. That means they are not practicing what they are preaching. This is very, very important aspect of honesty. We have to do what we say. Otherwise, people will not have faith in us. Now, we will see the scriptural perspective of what is real honesty. We saw the normal, generally understood meaning. That is, we should think good, we should say what we think, and we should do what we say. But what do the scriptures say about honesty? Is this much enough for one to be called honest? Let us see. In the Ishopanishad, there is a verse which tells us that God is the only proprietor. Everything belongs to the Lord. And we should understand this and use things in His service. Next. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me, Lord Krishna says. Everything comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to understand this point very, very clearly. Once in Russia, the communist regime was on and the communists came to the poor people who were starving for want of food. And they asked them, where is your God? Your God is not giving you bread. And then they threw them pieces of bread and said, we are giving you bread. Where is your God? Because they wanted to create a godless civilization. But the fools, they did not think, you are giving the bread, but where do you get the wheat from? Where do you get the wheat from? Next. We get wheat flour from the market. But how does the wheat flour come into the market? Who grows it? The farmer. Only the farmer can understand the importance of rain, sun, seeds and soil. Unless there is proper rainfall, unless there is adequate sunlight, unless there is good soil and good seeds, there cannot be a proper crop. And who gives us all this? These are all gifts of nature. These are all gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything that we have today, everything that we are eating or wearing or our body itself is a gift to us from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we have this understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should use it in His service, Unless this understanding is there, we can't claim to be honest. Next. So don't forget who is the real master. We are just like this cook. Everything has been given to him by his master. the kitchen, the utensils, the ingredients, everything. But when he cooks, he eats it himself first. He forgets who is the master. But we should not forget who is the master. We should remember that everything has been given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, first we should offer it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why devotees of the Lord, when they cook, they first offer to Lord Krishna and then they accept the remnants, which is called prasad. The Lord is very merciful. He leaves it for us. But it is more powerful when we eat the remnants because they have become, it has become prasad. Next. So what is real honesty? To recognize that God is the real proprietor of everything. Everything spiritual and material emanates from Him. We should use everything in His service. Our mind and intelligence, our body and everything else we possess. Only then we can claim to be really honest. Next. So how can we learn to recognize and apply this principle in our life? Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he gave us this formula. By chanting, by following the four regulative principles, by taking Krishna Prasad in the association of devotees. So the chanting of the holy names is a very, very powerful process. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, came 500 years ago to give us the Harinam Sankirtan. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. That is, he said that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can cleanse the mirror of our mind. Because if our heart is dirty, we will attract dirty thoughts. Just like if there's a garbage bin on the road, it will attract just dirt. People will put more and more dirt in that. If a place is clean, you don't feel like making it dirty. But if it's already dirty, you won't hesitate to dump more trash. So if our mind is dirty, we will attract more dirty thoughts. But if our mind is clean and pure, then we will attract pure thoughts. So we can purify our mind and consciousness by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because Lord Krishna is pure. So everything connected to Him is pure. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, we become pure. Next. The four regulative principles. The devotees in this movement follow these principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. We heard the story of Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning, that the four pillars of dharma were austerity, mercy, cleanliness and honesty. Why do we follow these four regulative principles? Because these activities destroy the four pillars of dharma. Meat eating destroys mercy. Intoxication destroys austerity. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness. And gambling destroys honesty. So when we follow these four regulative principles, then we can know we are adhering to the principles of dharma. Next. Eating Krishna Prasad. Everybody likes this. When we eat Krishna Prasad, as we mentioned earlier, our consciousness becomes purified. Actually, three things happen simultaneously. Tushti, Pushti, Shuddha, Apai. Tushti means our hunger is satisfied. Pushti means our body is nourished. And Shuddha, Apai means our consciousness gets purified. So just by taking the remnants of Lord Krishna, our consciousness becomes purified. When we eat food that is not offered or cooked by people with dirty consciousness, then that consciousness enters our body. Whatever those activities those people are doing, we will start doing the same activities. But when we eat the prasadam of the Lord, then we will be attracted to serve the Lord. Next. Associating with devotees. Jaisa sang, vaisa rang. When we associate with the devotees of the Lord, it is natural that we will develop qualities similar to them. Next. So we again go back. How can we learn to recognize and apply the principle of real honesty in our life? By chanting, following the four regulative principles and taking Krishna Prasad in the association of devotees. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunes tatra samasate sura हराव भक्तस्य कुटो महत गुण मनोरथे न सती धावतो बही। ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज बिकम मैनिफेस्ट इन वन हु हैज डिवोशन फॉर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विष्णु। ऑन द अदर हैंड अ पर्सन डिवॉइड ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस एंड एंगेज इन मेटीरियल एक्टिविटीज हैज नो क्वालिटीज। वाई इज दिस? We may have so many good qualities, honesty, forgiveness, truthfulness, whatever, different abilities, different talents. But all those different talents and abilities and qualities are simply zeros. It's only when we add the one of devotional service in front of it, then all these zeros, they get value. So please add value to your life by adding that one of devotion to Lord Krishna in your life. And perfect your life by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Bol. We must definitely thank Her Grace Radharani Mataji for such a wonderful, thought-provoking and well-researched lecture on this topic of honesty. She has covered this topic from every angle, from the material angle, moral angle, and most importantly, the spiritual angle. She has given us a spiritual perspective of what is real honesty, what is true honesty, which I'm sure that all of you have imbibed something, and we can try to practice it in our life from today itself. Before we go to the next program, we would like to open, for any questions, because this is the right time. If you have any questions, she can answer your questions right here. So please feel free to ask any questions. We can pass this mic around.
But I don't know, I just wanted to ask you, who defines or decides good thoughts? I mean,
we have no control over our thoughts, or that's what we think, but actually we do, because depending on the environment which we are in, we will have those type of thoughts. When you are in the temple, what do you think of? And if you go to a movie theater where passionate scenes are being shown, what do you think of? Do you think of Krishna at that time? No. So it depends on what type of environment or atmosphere we are exposing ourselves to. If we are putting ourselves in an environment or atmosphere which is in that type of mode, our thoughts also will be in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance accordingly. Everything we do actually influences our thoughts. The food we eat is very important. If we are eating outside food in hotels, cooked by people who are engaging in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication and other such things, then it is natural by eating the food cooked by them, because there is what is called as a samskara. When we cook, it is called the Agni Samskara. Actually, our consciousness goes into the food. That is why in the temples, only Brahmanas are allowed to cook, because actually the consciousness goes into the food. So when you are eating outside food, just remember, just think, who is cooking? Whoever is cooking, that person's consciousness you will get. Whatever you are seeing outside, that type of consciousness you will get. Whatever you are hearing, that type of consciousness you will get. Those are the thoughts that will come in your mind. There was, I don't remember this story very clearly, but there was one story of a king who was just passing through a village, and there was this woodcutter over there. And as soon as the king passed that place, he felt tremendous hatred towards the woodcutter, and he said he should be killed. And the minister asked him, but why? He said, I don't know, he should be killed. I'm getting very bad vibrations, just kill him. And when the woodcutter was questioned, he revealed that when the king was passing, he got a thought that I sell just little wood every day. But if the king dies, you know, I will be able to sell sandalwood to him for burning him. So he got this thought, and because of that, immediately, maybe the king was very sensitive, he immediately sensed and he gave order that this man should be killed. So thoughts are very subtle, but they are very, very powerful. So our thoughts are very much influenced by the clothes we wear, by the food we eat, by the movies we see. Everything we do, at every moment, we are being bombarded from all sides, our senses. So we do have control over our thoughts. How? We can express a desire to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that I want to think good. More powerful than thought is desire. If we desire to think good, we will think good. So desire is a very, very powerful thing. And if we don't desire something good, then we should pray that let me learn what is good in life and let me desire that. If we are very sincere from within our heart, then the super soul is seated in your heart. He knows what you are thinking. He's inside here. Inside information he has, actually. So he will guide you correctly. You just have to express a sincere desire that I want to be good. I want to do good. I want to be good. And the Lord will help you. So, first we have to take one step from our side. The Lord will take 10 steps towards us. So anything, if we want to improve the quality of our thoughts, we have to actually act on it. We have to desire first and act on it by trying to not expose ourselves to situations which will induce bad thoughts in us. Bad books, you know, reading vulgar literature, seeing vulgar movies, they are not going to induce good thoughts in us. It's natural. Even though we may feel we are not getting influenced, but we will. That is why, but when you are in the association of devotees, you will not think of anything bad because the vibrations are so powerful. In the temple of the Lord, the vibration, the spiritual vibrations are so strong, you will not think of something bad. Naturally, you will think good. See, there are some things in our life which we can control and there are some things which we can't. So obviously things which we can't, we are helpless. But at least the ones which you can, you start doing. And maybe the Lord will arrange your life in such a way that then the other things also you are able to control. For example, if you have to go for a business meeting, you know, you have to go to a hotel and you have to meet with people who are not devotees or who are not very having good thoughts. Now you can't avoid that possibly because it's a business meeting. But when you have your own social time, you have a choice. At least at that time you can make the right choice. You can choose to associate with devotees of the Lord rather than go for a movie. So when you can make a choice, make the right choice. When you have no choice, you cannot do anything about it. It's like when I went on a diet, I was making so many excuses. I used to say 7 days a week we have programs outside. We have to eat outside. Huh? So how can I lose weight? So one of my friends just reminded me. She said, it's okay. When you are eating outside, you can't control yourself. But at least when you are at home, you take care. Because I have to eat out 4 days a week. The meals which I was having at home also, I was enjoying myself. So then I realized, yes, at least when I have control, I should exercise control. Where I have no control, like when I go out, I cannot tell people that give me roti without ghee and give me cabbage salad. Whatever is there, I have to eat. But there also I can exercise restraint. I need not just go all out in eating. It's just an example to make you understand. But when I'm at home, I can exercise restraint. So when we can exercise that restraint or control, then we can prevent ourselves from getting into such situations, we should try our best. But when we can't, then Krishna knows, He's in our heart. He knows we are trying sincerely. We don't have to prove to the outside world. He's there inside. He knows. If we are doing sincerely, He will help us. He will help us. And He does help us. All devotees have that experience that when we try sincerely, Krishna helps us. Yep.
Like with my own conscience, I will never even hurt an ant, okay? But like unknowingly, I'm seeing somewhere else, I don't realize. So how much harm does unknown mistake does to you? Like, does Krishna forgive that or like, What?
I'm sorry to tell you, but we have to bear the reaction for even killing an ant. But when we become devotees of the Lord, then the Lord indemnifies us from our sins. He actually gives us the perfect insurance. He says, Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham, I will protect what you have, I will carry what you lack. Then he says, just surrender everything to me, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masuchata. Don't be scared. I will free you from all sinful reactions. I know that. I am not talking about knowingly. I am talking about unknowingly only. Because when we take to Krishna consciousness, at least hopefully we don't do things knowingly. Unknowingly we do. But even unknowingly when we do, we get the karmic reaction for that. Because whether you know or you don't know, you are harming somebody. Right? It's like when you cut even a vegetable, or you are cutting fruits of, breaking fruits of the tree, you are incurring karma. Even though it is vegetarian food. That's why when we offer it to Lord Krishna, then he indemnifies the sin. We don't incur sin. But when we eat food without offering it to Krishna, we are incurring sin at every moment. Because we are eating something that doesn't belong to us. But when we offer to him and when we eat prasad, then it doesn't remain sin any longer. So when we are working on behalf of the Lord, then he indemnifies us. Like a cashier. Sometimes there may be withdrawals, sometimes there may be deposits. Sometimes the withdrawals may be more than the deposits, but he doesn't lose or gain. Because he is working on behalf of the Supreme Personality of God, on behalf of the bank. So similarly, if we engage ourselves in devotion to the Lord, and we express a desire to him that we want to dedicate our body, mind, everything to you, then he protects us. And once we become devotees of the Lord, we are not scared. If Krishna wants, he can reduce our karma. It is described that this ocean of birth and death is it's massive. But if the Lord wants, he can reduce it to just so much as is contained, water is contained in the hoof print of a calf. Just little bit, then you can cross that easily. So if Krishna wants, he can minimize our karma. If he wants for our purification, he can allow us to bear that karma. So that's up to him. Once we become devotees of the Lord, he gives us shelter. Then he protects us. He protects us. Because obviously it's not practical. When we are walking, we cannot see whether there's an ant every moment and you know, it's difficult. But when we take shelter of the Lord, then he protects us. He takes care of us. That is if we are sincere. Not that we chant the holy names and you know, Muh mein Ram and kya? Bagal mein churi. We cannot just go on doing sinful activities knowingly. We have to be sincere and then the Lord will protect us. Any other question? As that Kaushik Rishi's example is there, that when we have to tell a lie to save someone's life, obviously we have to tell a lie. But there's a higher principle that whenever we have to do something and when we are in doubt, we should take guidance from seniors. Because sometimes we may do something wrong. So it is always better to consult with the seniors. Of course, Kaushik Rishi didn't have any seniors over there. But hopefully we won't be in such dramatic situations where dacoits come and we have to protect someone. So normally we can always, you know, consult with someone before taking an important decision. If it is really affecting someone's life, we can take direction from seniors, from our elders, so that we don't make the wrong decision in our life. But we should always try to be very sensitive. Any other question? All of you understood the lecture? Honestly? So we'll stop here and we'll do kirtan in the temple. 1 minute, somebody has a question. Yeah, as I said, that's a lecture in itself. Maybe my next lecture will be on that. But I'll just describe in short that many times something bad happens to a person, like the milkman. Something bad happened to him, he lost all his wealth. He thought he was a good person. So he was thinking, why do bad things happen to good people? But he didn't connect it to the mixing of water with the milk. He was thinking that I have not harmed anyone. Why is this happening to me? But he couldn't make the connection. But whether you connect it or not, the laws of karma work in your life. Same way, why do good things happen to bad people? Sometimes you see that people are sinful. You know, you have these mafia dons. They seem to be living so happily with so much opulence and nothing ever happens to them. But one day they are going to suffer, they are going to die, whether they know it or not. So it is not that good things are happening to bad people and bad things are happening to good people. Everybody gets what they deserve. It's just that we can't see it. I'll just end with this one example because we don't have so much time. That once there was a farmer and he had a tub with a tap. And he was putting basmati rice from up, but he was getting red rice from down, red ration rice. So he was thinking, I'm putting basmati rice, why am I getting red rice? Then he was gently reminded that earlier year you had stored red rice. Now you're putting basmati rice, but what about the earlier stock? Till you exhaust that, red rice will come. Once that is exhausted, then the basmati will come. Similarly, we don't remember what we have done in our earlier lives. We don't remember what we did yesterday. How can we remember what you have done in our earlier lives? So we may have performed karma because of which we are suffering in this life. And the laws of karma are perfect. Krishna never makes a mistake. Actually, Krishna doesn't even personally handle laws of karma. It is just handled by nature. The laws of nature are handled. It's an independent working system. Here, kya bolte usko out? He has outsourced it to Maya Devi, Krishna, these laws of karma. He doesn't have to handle directly. Only when we become devotees, then he takes the case paper in his hand and looks into the matter. Kya ho raha hai? Otherwise, it's being controlled by Maya Devi, the laws of karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. So that is the meaning of why do bad things happen to good people. This is a normally asked question. I am good, why is something bad happening to me? Or he is bad, why is good happening to him? Just wait. Just a matter of time. Everybody will get what they deserve. Does that answer your question? So this is a topic by itself. Actually, in our Bhagavad Gita course, one whole topic is devoted to this, laws of karma. So maybe one day we'll have a lecture on this. Hari Bol, thank you very much. So now we are, please sit down. Just two announcements, that this slip which is there, most of them got this slip. You have to fill up your address and phone number and give it down at the counter before you leave, because we want to keep in touch with all of you who have come for the first time, so that we can inform you of many other nice programs that are organized here for all of you in the next Chetna festival. And before we go there, I would like to announce the next Chetna festival. Do you know? The next Chetna festival, is the topic is from passion to compassion. It's on 16th of June. So please note down this date. And the speaker is Her Grace Vishakha Mataji. So definitely the passes are already